Sustaining It Live with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
Hello, Rita.
Kia ora.
How's it going?
What a segue. Was that title of the song, This Country's Dreaming?
Yeah. Oh, This Nation's Dreaming. This Nation's Dreaming.
This Nation's Dreaming. Even better.
Something like
might
that.
Might need to rename the show.
Now, Rita Steele, we are dreaming about a better future here on Sustaining Alive. Does this recent budget cut it?
Yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense to cover off some of the budget. But, I mean, I'd like to tell you it's more interesting than it sounds, but it's really not. It was deemed the no-frills budget by the mainstream media, I think. And that's a massive understatement when it comes to the environment. So when I read through it and got sort of my head around it a little bit, I guess the things that would stand out to me is that it's absolutely like a cash, it's 100% a cash savings budget and not about the environment at all. And it's very much so a move from, I guess, adapting to climate change rather than trying to fight it anymore.
It's like, forget about the climate. Let's all save money. Sucks.
Yeah, which is, you don't ask about faith, man, because unfortunately, that's what's going to happen. Is like, I remember saying to one of my lecturers, like, what is it actually going to take us down? You know, like, what is it in climate change? Is it going to be the rising sea? Is it going to be the cyclones? Is it going to be, you know? And he was like, no, we're going to bankrupt ourselves trying to keep up with it. And this is exactly what's going to happen. You know, you can see it happening now where food prices are getting more expensive, mainly because of greedflation. From what we can see, there's a lot of margin being put on food because people are paying for it. But at the same time, we're seeing it become more expensive to grow because we're running out of land to grow it on and the conditions are getting more extreme. And so we've got all these things. On top of that, we're trying to keep up infrastructure for, you know, stormwater drainage. And, I mean, God, if we know anything in the last 3 months in Auckland, it's that we are not capable of dealing with this rain all the time. Like, if it rains like this all the time, we're in trouble, man. So it is a bit of a shame to not be trying to fight it. I guess the argument is, though, that we are a little piece of the pie and we can throw everything at it, but if the rest of the world isn't, then it's good money after bad, you know?
Okay, so what are the good outcomes of the budget? What can we unpack out of it?
So they're tinkering. That looks all right. So they've extended the Warmer Homes and seems like that program for a bunch of people. You may have got, you know, your landlords or whatever may have got some underfloor heating or whatever for you, underfloor insulation and heat pumps and stuff. So that program's being extended. We've got a huge deficit in our old housing stock when it comes to being up to scratch for living in. And so people are pumping more money into, like, energy to heat their homes. So they're expanding that. And I didn't write down how much money it was, but it's about 26,000 additional homes will be eligible to go through, you know, the insulation and heating and double glazing and that sort of thing. So that's some really good news, especially for renters, because I feel like, you know, they bear the brunt of some of the stuff. I mean, I know there's healthier homes, but, I mean, that doesn't really even cover, like, that's the basics, you know.
Is there a kind of priority with state housing for that program, or is it just anyone who wants a healthier home can apply?
Yeah, they haven't rolled out a ton of details about it, except that the, I guess, the qualifiers have extended a little bit. So, you know, state houses are 100% for the government, like, they are a priority. And the argument for getting rid of some of the state houses that they did get rid of was that they were actually just too costly to bring up to spec. You know, so, which arguably, I mean, lots of us could probably argue the other way, but I can see what they mean. You know, a 1950s state house was probably going to cost, you know, upwards of $100,000 to get into a space where it was livable and not costing the tenants a lot of money. So,
what are we doing wrong with our housing? Because I have spent some time living abroad, and in one of the towns I lived in, it was minus 15 degrees Celsius for 4 months, and we lived in this house that looked like your classic 70s it was not a flash house. It would look like it was a house from that 70s show or something. And it was minus 15 for 4 months of the year in winter. Tell you what, inside, you would not have known that it was minus 15 degrees outside.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't know. That's a good question for some of the builders out there.
How did we get it so wrong in New Zealand?
I know. Well, did you know that when they first came to New Zealand and they were building in the South Island, I think, I'm not entirely sure, but the piece I read was in the South about the South Island. The builders were told to build the houses facing south because in England, that's the warm conditions, right? Your south-facing houses are the equivalent of our north-facing houses.
Right.
But so they came here with the plans and they were doing that and they were going, hey, guys, this doesn't really make sense. So, you know, I think we still had that mentality for a long time. And I look at the pictures of my mum when she was growing up and those houses were still clay floors and stuff. Like, we've come a long way in a couple of generations. So I think, or maybe we haven't, I don't know. We haven't in some ways. And I did read that in some other countries their wall cavities are wider, but I could be speaking out of turn. But, yeah, I think things like that. And double glazing, triple glazing is standard in lots of countries. So
are we all just cheap fucks? Is that our entire country in a nutshell?
I think we are vulnerable to being manipulated from a pricing point of view. So, you know, because we're so far away, we don't have the competition for materials, you know, like you look at the specialists who make concrete and like all those things are kind of monopolies. And so, and even with, you know, like the way that we're paying for food at the moment, it's like we're so vulnerable to being taken advantage of because we don't have the competition and we don't have a new player coming in and disrupting the market. So I do think that there's a lot of that. And then also we're up against it with, you know, those countries doing well in New Zealand trying to compete globally and selling their products globally. So we don't get the benefit of getting those products cheap because they're made here. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, you know, of living so far away. So it's a bit of a shame. One of the areas that we do pretty much do really well in is EVs. And look, there's massive arguments pro and con EVs from an environmental point of view. But our costs, but EVs are actually quite cheap in New Zealand compared to other countries. It's a shame no one can afford them. But and in this budget, they did put 120 mil into EV charging stations, which is kind of interesting, I guess. And for me, I was quite surprised because I was like, isn't that the job of the market? Like, shouldn't Shell, Zed and Caltex and those guys start putting like solar on their roofs and having stations? I would have thought it was a market fix, but I mean, 120 mil isn't, you know, the end of the world in a budget. And if it's going to fast track, having EVs in those areas where we need them.
Onto renewable resources. Is there any plan for more hydroelectricity in Aotearoa? Mm. Or are we like...
I didn't see any hydro, but there is some money set aside for...
Wind and solar?
What was that?
Wind and solar? Do you think there's scope for nuclear fission?
For a few reasons, I don't think so. So I think the thing is that there's actually been a lot of wind farms approved already. Like, they've had resource consent, and they didn't go ahead with them because we didn't actually have the demand on the grid. So there's a whole lot just sitting there ready to go, and they're actually pretty, like, they're pretty good. You know, like you can argue that, yeah, they need maintenance and yada yada, but, you know, in New Zealand, where we have an abundance of wind, there's really few arguments against the old turbine, to be honest. So, for me, I would absolutely be looking at, and God, if there's an argument to have a hydro, it's how much bloody rain we've been having, right?
Yeah.
I think that we are a very lucky country in that we've got alternatives before we look at nuclear. You know, we're a geographically unstable country. You know, there's a bunch of reasons why it's probably not a great idea. I think there's some restrictions around, like, minimum thresholds to meet. Plus, we're a nuclear-free country. So I think, and like I say, we've got an abundance of wind. We've got an abundance of rain. In summer, we've got an abundance of sun. So I think there's probably loads of opportunity to go down the renewable path before we hit a nuclear conversation.
It's interesting that you bring up the whole earthquake nature, and the first thing that went off in my head was Fukushima.
Totally. Which, that, you know, they just didn't even know that that size earthquake happened. Like, they were like, whoa. So, I don't know. I think that, and like I say, you know, it's only a very small time that we need that boost. You know, we're pretty good as a nation. I think some of, you know, a lot of the time we're sitting at like 98% renewable. So, you know, we probably don't need nuclear. We're very lucky that we're a country that probably doesn't need. There are countries out there that I think will really struggle with the transition without it, but we're probably not one of them, thankfully.
Right.
Back to the budget. Boring as. The ETS. Sorry, guys. The ETS. The climate budget got a little bit screwed over as well. The government's actually made some really bad decisions around our emissions trading scheme, which has made the whole carbon market fuck out, basically. And it's one of those arguments where you go, why did the government get involved like this? But the good news is, for those out there listening that are students and under 25, free public transport for under 13s and half price for under 25s. And that is going on. So it's not an end date. This is just how it will be, which is really awesome. And I really hope will lead to a bit of a cultural shift. Although I thought about it and I was like, I caught the bus all the time when I was down there. And that doesn't necessarily translate to me catching the bus as an adult. So, you know, let's see. I mean, we just need better buses. Instead, like, why do the buses go half an hour in the wrong direction before they go where that you want them to? So that's pretty much it. Nothing really about biodiversity, nothing additional for the environment. So
in that case,
really,
what rating do you give the budget?
Oh, like if there's a negative, but like probably a negative number, but
wow,
you
negative
know the
integers.
Problem is, yeah, we're in negative. The problem here is that we just don't seem to have enough money to run the country at the moment, and no one wants to pay more tax. I will say no one. I'm okay with paying a little bit more tax.
Google and Facebook, yep, they're pretty happy as well. They'll pay a bit more tax, I reckon.
Yeah. Like, there's
they'll
a whole bunch of companies. Mm. Yeah. And, I mean, think about how much profit the banks are making out of New Zealand at the moment. Like,
millions.
I just think, come on, man. Why does this keep falling on Kiwis? There's got to be another way. That's what I think we're getting to the crux of it. And, unfortunately, the arguments for the election coming up aren't even in that space. They're still keeping us bickering with ourselves, and it's like, now hang on, this shouldn't be us with each other. This should be, you know, come on, companies, come to the party, pay taxes.
Mm. All right, hey Rita, everyone pay a bit more tax and think about the climate.
Well, let's try and push our MPs to get you know, some decent tax rates from these international companies.
All right, hey Rita Steele, thank you so much for another fantastic edition of Sustaining Alive. We'll check in with you in a fortnight's time.
Sounds good.
Cheers.
See
Rita.
Bye.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.